Aloha, ladies and germs. Welcome to the experience. I am your host, Jeremy Vaney. And it's official, folks. My wife, Carol, and I, we're getting ducklings. That's right. 8 ducklings are coming to the household. You know what? It's also official that the powers that be, I think it's the USGS, has raised the volcano watch alert for the very volcano I live on, Mauna Loa, from nothing to see here to, I think that's officially what they call it. So watch out for that. Watch out for the special episode later in the year where I'm running from lava. With ducks. Until then, let's get to some show here. Our guest this week is Christopher Peters. His family background is that he comes from a, how you say, powerful Hollywood family. His mom's a famous actress. His dad's a mogul, like a big shot producer type. And his stepmom is Barbara Streisand. So that alone would have made an interesting show. But as it turns out, Christopher saw a UFO, and that sort of has led him down a rabbit hole of possible high strangeness experiences, which we will hear all about. By the way, someone wrote to me, I think on Facebook it was, and said, hey, I couldn't see the comments for the last episode's show, so I'll just leave a comment here. And I noticed that with Whitley's new unknowncountry.com layout, it appears that if you are not a subscriber and you're not logged in, then you can't see that there is a comment section at all. Like, you can't read comments from people. So I don't know if that's a bug or a feature, but if you log in and you're a subscriber, then comment away, by all means. Also, if you missed last episode, if you are interested in finding out what my website, ourundoing.com, is all about, and you want a free month's trial, go there, www.ourundoing.com. Click on the free month trial button, and you'll see a link to a friend's store. If you purchase anything at that store, you get a free month of ourundoing.com. So it's just like getting something for free, but you're paying for it. Wait, no. Anyway, that's ourundoing.com. Go get yourself an item and then a free month's trial. What else up front here? Nothing really. Oh, perfect. Let's just get into it with Christopher Peters for non-subscribers after these messages. For subscribers, let's go now.
Aloha, Jeremy Vaney here, and I want to tell you about my latest undertaking, ourundoing.com. Ourundoing.com is a multimedia website where if you watch, if you read, if you listen, without trying to absorb knowledge like we do with normal learning, and without the normal judgmental filters that we use to compare and contrast so-called spiritual knowledge, if we watch, if we read, if we listen, without all of that, we may just wake up to our full human nature. That is what this website is for. It's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are, truly are, when we're off the pendulum of duality. If your life is about seeking truth above all else, look no further. Join me at ourundoing.com.
Whitley Strieber has published an incredible 2-volume historical novel called In Hitler's House under his open pseudonym Jonathan Lane. This amazing story follows the life of William Weber, who meets Hitler while touring Germany in 1931 and becomes his friend and confidant, but then, when he realizes the truth, becomes a spy in Hitler's house for the Allies. Living a life of terrible danger, he falls in love with another of Hitler's secret friends, also a spy in his house. This is a story of espionage and desperate love, and the deepest portrait of Adolf Hitler ever created. Don't miss In Hitler's House, available in paperback and as an ebook on Amazon.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please welcome to the program Christopher Peters. Christopher, thank you for coming on the show and doing this.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's awesome. I love your show. I watch some of the other shows that you guys do. It's really great, really interesting, and really, really profound stuff. And I appreciate being here. Thank you so much.
So your experiences, they seem to be kind of fully fleshed out, and yet they only started 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. So I grew up in Southern California. My mom is Leslie Ann Warren. My dad's John Peters. My stepmom's Barbara Streisand. I grew up in an entertainment family. I'm going to be 51 in September. Live most of my life normal, never into paranormal stuff, never into UFO stuff. I watched, Star Wars and E.T., but that was kind of the extent of my interest in that stuff. And my mom was always kind of like a spiritual person, not overly spiritual, but, grounded. My dad, totally into business, not at all. So I grew up in this world, and Barbara is not really, she's spiritual, but more just kind of like an open person, but never really had these subjects go on at all. So, I was living my life, been married 15 years, been running my dad's film company at Warner Brothers for, 18 years, have my own film finance thing. And just living my life, everything was normal, nothing paranormal, ghostly or UFO, et cetera. And, a couple of years ago, it's going on maybe 3 years now. So I work from my house basically near Malibu area. And so one day I'm basically at the house and we're having some trash cans come to be delivered. It's a clear sky day. And so I'm walking down the driveway to get the trash cans and I'm walking up the driveway. And I casually look up into the sky just sort of by chance, and I see like a couple hundred feet above our house, there's this object in the sky. And I'm not really, when you see something that you've never in your life seen before, ever even focused on, there's a moment of your brain sort of not understanding what it is you're seeing. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm looking at this object. It's maybe a couple hundred feet directly above our house. I'm looking at it. It's not a plane. It's not a helicopter. It's kind of like a walnut shape, but it's also got these two X patterns of like metal coming off of it in the front. And I'm looking at this thing. I can see the sun shining off the backside of it, and I'm studying it. And I, after like 5 minutes, I'm like, into myself, I'm like, oh my God, this is an effing UFO. And the second that I thought that, the entire thing lights up golden. I mean, it totally lights up golden, like a brilliant kind of LED golden color. I'm looking at this thing, and the more that I kind of understand this is a UFO and say to myself, oh my God, this is a UFO, it goes from lighting up golden to start doing like patterns, like literally the entire thing of the shape of it becomes almost like a screen that can project images. And this thing is golden. It's doing different patterns, like kind of hieroglyphic type of patterns. And I'm watching this thing for 30 minutes, totally blown away, totally trying to understand what it is that I'm seeing. And as the time goes by, I'm like, oh my God, I got to get back to work, but how can I leave this moment? And I'm just watching this thing for 25, 30 minutes, and then it slowly starts to kind of drift up higher and higher, and then it's gone, and I'm just kind of left there stunned, like, what did I just see? And so I just basically, kind of gathered myself, went back to work. I thought, I got to call somebody, so I picked up the phone, and I called my mom. My mom, Leslie Ann Warren, is somebody that I'm so close with. I have shared everything intimately with her. I've been sober many years, went through drug addiction, all this different stuff. So she's a person that I could always talk to, always go to, always get sound advice, always get open, kind of grounded, spiritual, good, positive stuff. So I told her this thing, and I was so blown away by the reaction that I got, because I was just on fire with, oh my God, what did I just see, and how amazing and beautiful. And I tell her this, the reaction that I got was shocking. It was like almost somebody kind of hit me with a gut shot, because she was like disturbed, angry, kind of like, are you okay? Are you back on drugs again? And it was just really weird, because I thought she would be the one person of all the people I know that would be open to this and amazed by it, but she was really freaked out. So So I kind of just, you know, understood what was going on, and I got off the phone, you know, I calmed her down. I said, don't worry, it's fine. It was just this amazing, weird thing, and sort of got off the phone. And that is really how it started, you know.
Well,
I mean, I can go right into the entire story or
actually,
questions. Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you some questions. Was anyone else out on the street when you saw this?
No, it was just basically a normal day, clear sky. I work from home. Usually people are gone. Cars are driving up and down the street. But no, nobody else was there. It was just me in my driveway looking at this thing.
And when you were looking at it, did it strike you as anything other than real? In other words, completely fake or hyper real, more real than real? Did it look like just a normal object in the sky that happened to be doing these weird things?
It wasn't. I mean, I really looked at it because I looked at it for 30 minutes totally, probably 25, 30 minutes. But the first 10 to 15 minutes, I was talking to myself as I was watching this thing, but I was really looking at it, you know, and defining each sort of section, seeing the sun off. I mean, it was a real metal object. It was definitely not a helicopter or plane. It was definitely not a drone. It was the size of a small plane. And it was not in any shape of anything that I've ever seen. And it really then went from a metal craft to, when I thought to myself, this is a UFO, it went golden and it started doing these, projecting these images on its face. So yeah, it was a real thing. I mean, when you say hyper real, yeah, I mean, I guess it was hyper real, but I'm not, are you saying like a projection?
I saw a UFO when I was a kid that was, you know, windows, fluorescent green, you know, the whole shebang. And I didn't immediately go to, oh my God, UFO. I actually thought it looks like a giant toy. It just looks so, like if I took a picture of it, you wouldn't believe me. You'd say, oh, that's a special effect or a toy or something. So that's one way to ask the question. The other is, like a lucid dream, or if you've ever done a hallucinogen, there's that hyper reality, the vivid colors and all of that. I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, what your mind goes to.
Yeah, everything that's come after that day, we can go into definition of all of that, and all of these things that you're mentioning are all part of everything, plus way, way, way more. That day, it was a solid craft of some kind. It definitely had structure to it. It was definitely in the shape of like a walnut, yet it had these big pieces of metal were in an X pattern. I thought the only way I could describe it is as a UFO, different than anything I'd ever seen before, no sound, you know, and exactly as I described it.
Okay.
You know, so that's what it was.
Do you think that it was a coincidence that you looked up and then it just sort of engaged with you, or do you think that the whole thing was, planned?
Well, let me get on. I mean, I can tell you my entire story and then you'll understand, but it was 100% planned. What has gone on and what is going on and the level of my relationship is beyond anything that I've ever heard about. I mean, I've searched the internet for people going through what I'm going through, and I've not maybe found, there are some that I found, but very rare. So yeah, I think it was 100%. I know it was 100% on purpose. And that was the beginning of this moment in my life, remembering this relationship. But this relationship started, I think, in my childhood and prior to me even coming into this world. And these are not things that I would have said to you 2 years ago or even knew about or learned about. Maybe I should just progress from this point on and try to give you a condensed, if that's okay, or if you have other questions.
I actually have one more, which is, because you worked with, you know, the best of the best special effects, how does something like that compare to special effects? I mean, I know how it makes you feel, but when you just think about the visual of it and the actuality, is it more mundane than things that we imagine, or is it greater than things that we imagine?
Greater than anything I could imagine. You know, in that moment, and then what's progressed since that time, beyond anything that I could even imagine in my wildest fantasies. Beyond anything that I could even speculate on in my fantasy of my wildest fantasies, anything that I've ever seen, beyond that, beyond the scope of my imagination, what has happened and is continuing. That day was beyond anything that I could have ever imagined, and struck me like a bullet through the head. I mean, it was such an explosion of the reality that I was in and what I had known and what I even thought was possible. It was concrete. It was there. And it was pretty amazing.
All right. So where do we go from there?
Right. So basically what happened is that day that happened. And then that night I told my wife, same kind of reaction. She kind of freaked out, kind of got angry at me. I shut it down because I thought, okay, these people are not open to this. And I didn't know that this subject caused this kind of reaction in people because I had never really knew about the subject before. I was totally a newbie. So the following day, let me get back for a second. So 2 years before that, I had this daytime experience. I had seen Stephen Greer's Sirius. I think it was Sirius was the first one, and I was blown away by it. And I showed my family, and they didn't really care about it. But I was really affected by it. And I didn't know why. And then I think I saw the next movie. And in between that time, I was so interested by the film and his life. I made contact with Stephen. And I had basically talked to him about doing a reality show about his life. And, you know, I brought it to the networks and they liked it. And he ended up not wanting to do it. But those movies made a great impact on me. And in those movies, I saw one of his protocols, the CE5 protocol, where you sort of see yourself in space and then showing yourself down to like Earth and California and your city and state and sort of bringing them in and the laser pointer. So that day that I had my experience, I went out that afternoon and I bought myself a green laser pointer just to think, you know, maybe something else will happen. The following day, it's about 9 o'clock at night. I'm finishing up, doing the dishes, et cetera. I go outside and I think, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. So I do. I go outside in our backyard. I close my eyes. I do the visualization. I show them down to where I am. And then I take the laser pointer out. I put it up to the sky and I do like 4 pulses. And I wait, and nothing happened. It was like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to give this one more try. And then if nothing happens, I'm going to go inside. So I pull it out again. A second, I raise it up to the sky. I start to do the pulse. As soon as I do pulse 1, bam, 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 maybe about 100 feet above my head are these huge, white, perfect circle pulses of light. Again, the size of a helicopter, 4 of them, boom, boom, boom. I yell to my wife, get out here, Danny. She runs outside. It moves. It's, you know, a couple hundred feet above our house. It moves maybe 20 feet to the west above our house. Does another like 10 to 15 pulses. My wife freaks out, runs inside because I don't know what that is, but it's scaring me. I'm running inside and I'm blown away. So that happened. I'm like, oh my God, this happened now twice. I didn't know what to think. And so I go inside, and that's day 2. And so basically what happens then is from that day on, every single day they come to me at night doing these kind of things. And that's the first couple months, and it's every single night. And then it progresses. And then like when I come home from the studio, I'll sit in my driveway, and I'll work in my car, and I'll like make phone calls from like, you know, 5 to 6:30 in the car. So then a couple months into it, they're coming every night, at, you know, me doing the laser pointer. Then I'm like in my car working one day and it's dusk and I get outside. As soon as I get outside of the car, it's sort of light, almost dark. I don't even have the laser pointer on. All of a sudden there they are, bam, 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 a couple hundred feet. Then I get out of the car. I'm standing in my driveway and then 10 feet above my head from like, let's say, you know, east to west, 20 feet. So 10 feet above my head, east to west, 20 feet. Out of the nothingness, you hear this and you see literally like almost like an opening in air and this electric shooting star the size of a baseball, silver electricity, goes flies basically in front of my face from east to west, 20 feet, 10 feet above my head. And then all of a sudden, and then I'm like blown away. I'm like, what is that? And then I start to hear these things, and I call them Tinkerbell lights. Then you hear this, and you start to see these pops of look like, you know, Tinkerbell when she flies in on Wonderful World of Disney, that fairy dust.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is what you see. You're hearing the sound of, and then you're seeing these pops of golden light and this like fairy dust looking material above my head. That's going on, flashes of light. So this then is then from month 3, then that begins where they come closer and are start doing all these things. There's orbs flying all around me, all these different kinds of orbs, crafts. And so basically the first 7 months, it's like that every single day and night, lower and lower craft, hundreds of videos, orbs everywhere, hundreds of orbs flying all around me.
Where can we see the videos?
And then what?
You have videos of this?
About 140, I think.
Are they online at all?
Yeah, they're on YouTube. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you I have to look up my, because I forget it every time, but I'll give you my YouTube thing.
Okay, and
what happens is,
before we move on,
go ahead.
We'll be back after this.
The new unknowncountry.com is on the way. There'll be exciting new graphics, much easier navigation, the ability to subscribe either with your credit card or using PayPal, the return of our free message board and subscriber chat room, and so much more. The new site will be intuitive and easy to use, but it will also be demonstrated and explained on Whitley's YouTube channel. As to when, well, we're hopefully just weeks away.
You know, The Afterlife Revolution is a funny book. It makes people happy, even though it's about the afterlife and thinking about crossing over. It made me happy to write it. And the reason it did was that I was actually in touch with Anne while I was writing it. And not only that, she proved it. She proved it clearly and completely. When you read the book, you'll see what I mean. You'll see why Dr. Gary Schwartz, who is one of the leading experts on the afterlife, considers it such an important book, why he wrote a foreword for it. Because this is about something real and incredible that we are told every day not to believe that we have souls and that we have an afterlife. Well, we do. We do. And The Afterlife Revolution is going to open the door for you, so you're not going to be thinking to yourself, maybe I don't, when you do. And that's why it's a book of joy. Go on Amazon, take a look at the great reviews, and get yourself a copy. It's available for your Kindle, it's available in paperback, and there's an audiobook read by me. And let me tell you something. You can hear something in my voice. People tell me that, and I think it's true. You know what it is? It's the inner joy that is part of me and has become part of me since this extraordinary thing happened. I have to say, Anne Streber was a remarkable person in this life, and she still is. Get it today.
Whitley Strieber's nonfiction is magical, powerful, and thought-provoking. From Communion to The Afterlife Revolution, there is no body of work like it in the world. Nothing even approaches it. And not only that, his wonderful fiction, from The Wolfen to his latest novel, New, offers reading and listening entertainment that you will never forget. And where do you find all this in one place? At Strieber.com. That's where. Every Whitley Strieber book available for sale is there. So don't wait. Go to Strieber.com and start exploring. There's only one Whitley and only one place to find all his work. Strieber.com.
Welcome back.
This is all new to you, right? And so you're being inundated with what appears to be another intelligence contacting you. What is your feeling?
Totally.
Are you afraid? Are you enthusiastic? Yeah. What's the feeling?
Okay, I'll tell you, there's so much that went on in those first 2 years and is going on now, so much minutia to how I was feeling, to what went on. And by the way, this entire time in month two, I'm talking telepathically to them. And I'll tell you about how that started. But to answer your question is, I went through stages. I went through terror in the beginning, not from them, but from me, because I had heard so many scary stories about people getting hurt or this or that. I went through such terror and fear, didn't know if I was going to get killed or taken away. And my reality of everything that I knew was totally obliterated. So I went through these phases of absolute fear, but then kind of moving through that because nothing ever happened to me that hurt me. and they were always amazing and loving. And so I went through these stages of that. I went through these stages of not feeling safe because my consciousness, they could speak to me. I could hear them. You know, all of these different things would happen. I would close my eyes and orbs would fly through my head where I would see them with my eyes closed. I mean, so many. So I kind of like went through all these stages of feeling unsafe in my own space, terrified, didn't know what was going to happen, but only through the relationship being built and turning into the greatest love affair of my entire life, other than my family and people that I love and that connection to all life and knowing that they're absolutely about love and compassion helping us and our family, literally. But the beginning stages were horrible and scary. I was holding on to a thread to my reality, very grounded, strong person. And I literally was holding on by a thread to my own centeredness to the earth, and to knowing, and integrating this new experience. So yeah, I went through a lot of crazy things, but because nothing ever was done to me bad, that hurt me, over time I realized that they were my friends and that they are our friends. And then over time I learned that they are our family, et cetera. And by the way, just in the first 7 months, I'll tell you this, I've never had a surgery ever in my entire life. I've got a scar that goes from my belly button all the way up through my chest and around my neck. I've got two triangles on my shoulders. I've had scoop marks, multiple scoop marks. I've had these circles within circles of these little pinpricks, these perfect, I have these diagrams on my chest, including the triangles of these squares with these horizontal lines crisscrossing. I have X patterns, you know, and all of these things that they were doing, are things that they, you know, did to help me. So there's so much. So yeah, I went through all of that. And that first 7 months was really about teaching me that they're there, teaching me about the basics of consciousness, teaching me that telepathic, et cetera, all these things.
Well, wait, did they tell you what the physical stuff was for? What it was helping you with?
They told me that it was health related, you know, and that they were doing things for me to help me health related. And I just took it as a given because nothing ever was done to me to hurt me. In addition, actually, so many things have happened that they've brought into my life, my wife's life, concrete physical things that have helped us financially this way, that way, the other thing. So I just kind of took it for granted and thought, okay, these are sort of like, you know, scars of I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but helpful things and sort of proof in a way that things are happening that never, you know, I never had surgeries, et cetera. So, but they didn't go into depth about we did this because of this organ or that organ. They just basically said health related stuff. So that first 7 months, they were there like that all the time, every single night outside. And then basically it progressed from there when, you know, so I would be inside the house and you would see, and I mean, basically, if you go in my house, there are orbs in my house in every corner of every room, and you can film them. There are orbs flying all the way through the house. There are energy beings, all this stuff. So how that started is about 7 months into it with all this stuff going on. One night, I'm looking out my bedroom window. I'm looking at our garden with my beautiful kitty, Ween, and we're just kind of looking at the garden through the window, and I start to see all of these flashes of darkness flying everywhere, hundreds of these flashes. Now, prior to that, I had never wasn't able to really see that. I was able to see craft. I was able to see certain kinds of orbs with my eyes and my infrared cameras, but I wasn't able to see spirit or energy beings or any of these things. I didn't even know they existed. So this night, I look out the window, and I'm seeing all these black blurs flying everywhere, hundreds of them. And then a couple of days later, it progresses, and now they're not black blurs, they're orbs. I'm seeing all these different colors of orbs, gray, black, super white ones. And then that was like a progression. And then a couple of days later, a week later, now I'm starting to see these, what I call them at that time, like these energy beings, which basically you'd see these pops of like golden, blue, and purple all around me everywhere. And then this mist that is basically, I learned them and spirit, but this mist that would be flying all around me, all through the house, these pops of golden energy. And so then, you know, so I hit this point where basically they had changed something in my consciousness and me to enable me to see them in this way. And so that's basically when, you know, they're all outside. Everything is going on 24/7 outside, but also inside the house now as well. And so what I didn't know at the time why they had given me this ability not to see them in this way in the house. And then about a couple weeks later, I'm on the treadmill in the morning, and I'm on the treadmill, I'm looking at my hand, and all of a sudden I see electricity coming off of each fingertips, and I think, okay, I've lost my mind totally. I've totally lost my fucking mind. And I'm like, Ephus, because Ephus is one of the beings that I talk to amongst a few beings that are in this being family. I said, Ephus, what is this stuff? And they said, that's a healing gift that we're giving you. You're not the healer, but it's an ability to participate in healing. And that's basically chi energy, but it's more than that. So I get off the treadmill and I go to my wife and I hold my hand about, you know, 2 feet off her leg, and I point my fingers and I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I go, close your eyes. Can you feel this? And she's like, yeah, I can feel this kind of electricity on my skin, like a light thing. And I go, it's a healing energy. They just caved me. And she's like, honey, you got to stop with this stuff. You cannot tell people this. They're going to think you're totally out of your mind. I'm like, okay, I get it. So, and tell me if I'm running on too long. There's just so much. I don't want to bore you, but I want to try to give you everything. Am I boring you? Do you want me to stop? What would you like me to do?
There's a, no, okay. You keep going.
Because there's a lot.
I should ask. Actually, I want to derail the conversation for 1 second in a way by accident. By just hearkening back, because it just keeps, it's on my mind. You said Stephen Greer did not want a reality show. Did you pitch the idea before asking him, or was he on board and then he decided, I don't want to do this?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, I saw the movie and I loved it. And then I kind of dug a little deeper to find out about him. And I didn't know about this whole, you know, Men in Black and secret government and black budgets. I didn't know about any of that stuff. And then I heard him talking about that, and heard him talking about how people have been killed, which is horrible, in his group that he works with and carries a gun. And I thought, oh my God, you know, that's tragic, but this is a really fascinating, interesting person. I think would make a great reality show. So I connected with him. I got in touch with him. And, you know, we spoke many times, and I said, look, Stephen, I feel I can get you a deal at several networks. Will you allow me to do that? And he was hemming and hawing for a long time. And then he was like, okay. So I basically was with my dad. My dad's John Peters. My dad's really good friends with Leslie Moonves, at the time was head of CBS. And we were at a party at one night, and he was there, and a few other people were there who are in those positions. And I said this, I brought up the subject. I told him about Stephen. I told him about all the stuff about him being pursued by the government and all this proof and this. And they all loved it, you know. And Stephen kept telling me the entire time before I spoke to those guys at that party that night, he kept telling me, you're never going to get a deal. The media will never let it happen, you know, all that stuff. So basically I said, well, I want to try anyway. So I pitched them that night. They seemed to be totally into it. I went back to him and I said, I got really great reception about this. I think we should officially go for it. And he was up for it. And then he just basically decided he didn't want to, and it kind of fell apart, and he never called me back. And so that's kind of what happened with that.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. And it's interesting that they loved it, because, I mean, if they believe it, they obviously don't want to attract that into their lives by doing this show. So they must love the sort of drama of it. Right? Like, I mean, are these people receptive to the reality of this stuff?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, but like, I have a friend, like my friend Kevin Burns owns a company called Prometheus, and I've known Kevin way before Prometheus. You know, Kevin, they do Ancient Aliens, Oak Island, they do Project Blue Book, they do all these different things. They do the new show that's on. Kevin is a fan of like the Munsters and all this old, like, you know, 50s sci-fi, and he loves all that stuff. He's open to it, but he's not a believer. He's a fan of the subject, and he's open. You know, he's, I guess he's an open guy. I don't know for sure if he is, but he says he's open. And he has a model that works for him, you know, and I think these guys know that this world has an audience. And so I think they're always open and looking to find interesting little worlds that they can expose that are fresh, you know. And I think that's where they were coming from with Stephen, because they had never really heard about this stuff before and wanted to take a look at it.
Okay. And so now we'll circle back. You're sort of on a first name basis, right? At least with one of these beings.
Absolutely.
How does that come about, where they just,
right.
What is the conversation exactly?
I'll tell you exactly. So one day, about 2 months into it, I'm driving through Topanga Canyon going back to our house. And I'm like, okay, you know, if you're real, which I know you are, give me something that I have no idea about. Give me something. Give me something concrete. And all of a sudden, a word went into my head, biocentric. And I wrote it down, biocentric. And I said, okay, I have no idea what biocentric is, or biocentricism. That was another word that came through. I said, give me a name if you have a name. And the name Ethos came in, Ethos. So I wrote them down. So I went home and I Googled biocentricism. And I was kind of blown away by what I had found. I'm not great at articulating the exact definition, but this is basically what it says. Everything is conscious. Man has no inherent value over any other living thing. We're all connected, and through, you know, basically consciousness unlocks the gateway to the cosmos and beyond. And it's more extensive than that. So I was really blown away that it was very specific, and it goes even more depth about how specific to the subject matter it was. I thought, oh my God, that's very odd that this word should come into my head that's exactly on target about everything that I'm learning about consciousness, reality, connection, how, you know, all of this difference of them, everything. So then I research even more, and I find that the world's leading stem cell researcher, probably the number two scientist in the world, like the Stephen Hawking and this guy and maybe one other, Dr. Robert Lanza, the first man to clone an extinct species, etc., had just written these books, Biocentricism and Beyond Biocentricism, which is being basically looked at for the Nobel Peace Prize. It's a reimagining of humanity's connection to the cosmos and beyond, and how through consciousness we unlock the gateways to the cosmos, etc. And so then the next message from them was, we want you to contact this guy, and we want you to tell him their story, your story, and everything that's happened, and we want you to do a documentary on biocentricism, because that is exactly how the universe operates and how everything works in terms of our connection with everything, how thought and intention creates all matter, and matter doesn't exist outside of perception and creation of thought, et cetera, and everything being connected and blah, blah, blah. So I said, you got to be crazy. I don't know anybody in the science world. I'm a film person. This guy's going to think I'm crazy, but okay, I'll go for it. So I called a bunch of different people, thought I could get a connection to this guy. Nobody knew how to get a hold of him. I had one friend who went to MIT. He actually knew one of his professors that knew Dr. Lanza, so I got the guy's number. So I swallowed my nerves, and I just went for it. So I left him a message, and to my surprise, he called me back. And we sort of traded phone calls, and then eventually one day I got him on the phone, and I said, Dr. Lanza, my name's Christopher Peters, and if you don't mind for 5 minutes, let me just tell you the story. And I told him the entire story, soup to nuts, everything. And there was a long pause after I was done. Phone went totally quiet, and I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to just hang up on me or think I'm totally crazy. And you have to understand, this is such a huge risk for me, for my family, to go out in public. I mean, it's not good for any of that. But I knew that I had to do this. So after a few seconds, he comes back on the phone. He says, look, Christopher, I'm a scientist. You know, so I can't really elaborate or comment on what you just said. But what I will tell you is this. I had a similar experience, and that is where these books came from. So you have my full permission to do this documentary. I will give you everything for free. And if you know anything about making movies in Hollywood, whether it's film or TV, when you do a rights deal, you always pay money. You pay money up front, you do a contract, you do all of that. That's the only way the author of any creation will give you the rights to do it. He basically said, you have it, everything for free, and in addition, he put his assistant on it to do like a 12 to 15-page dossier of explaining it for the general public to incorporate into the documentaries. So it was a pretty amazing experience, and were producing and funding that documentary. So that is how my relationship with Ethos and Being Family started in terms of telepathic talking.
And that's all the time we have on this week's The Experience for non-subscribers. For subscribers, this thing keeps going, and then I give my little after chat, and we wrap it up in a bow. It's nice. Oh, it's so nice. You should subscribe to UnknownCountry.com right now and listen to this whole episode. Listen to all of Unknown Country's Dreamland stuff and Whitley Strieber stuff and all the stuff that's there. Commercial free. For like nothing. For practically nothing. That's my sales pitch, and I'm sticking to it. My thanks to Christopher Peters for coming on the program, and to you for listening. I will see you again next month with another edition. Ooh, with a round table that I'm not even in. So there's that. What does that mean? You'll find out in a month. Take care.